Daniela, what is going on as we finish setting this thing up?
I have no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea?
I don't know. I'm just going with it.
You're just going with the week, the month, the year?
Whatever's happening. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm just going with the flow here. I don't even know. I just need to know what day it is.
Right.
And where I'm supposed to be at what time. That's it. That's all.
Bum, 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 bum. So I'm glad to be back on the mic. It's been a bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. I'm excited for the things that they announced today. As far as like the pricing and stuff like that, but we'll get into that. Let's catch up first. Before we get into all that stuff, let's catch up first. What is the deal?
With what?
With your week and your month thus far.
I don't know. There's nothing said. I just come out on day three of a 13. Day three, day two, I don't remember. I know I'm at the beginning of it, though. It was 13-day work week, I think.
Okay.
I think my next day off is on the 26th, so in 10 days is my... I have 2 days off.
Okay.
Hopefully. There's no guarantee on that. It's just a hopeful.
Well, I mean, I definitely hope you get the days that you're actually looking for and stuff.
What can hope? I just think, like, you know, PAX just happened, or I had plans of being there.
Right.
TwitchCon was supposed to happen. I think it was the end of this month. I can't even remember
right,
anymore.
Right.
And that's canceled. Yeah, I think it was the last week of this month.
Okay.
So, like, I miss traveling. I don't mind. It's funny because I don't mind being home
miss it
so much.
Too. Yeah.
I don't mind being home so much. It's just staying in this island or in this state for so long bothers me. And like, I don't know the next time I will travel.
Right.
I don't know when that's going to be. And like, that bothers me so much.
Yeah. It's a strange feeling. Like knowing that, around this time, there was so much traveling, prepping, getting the business cards ready, getting all those things, you know, packing the bags, you know, getting ready for the flights. And then we have this weird world that we're living in right now where everybody has masks that are like, with special designs on them. And, you know, as soon as they get out of the car, they got to put the mask on. Like, that's just a weird world right now.
That's the funny thing is I don't think it's weird. Like the whole mask wearing thing. Like, if you think of all the other countries that do wear masks, like, best example that everyone's been using is Japan. Like, they're wearing masks is also a fashion statement, but it's also is, like, somebody, if they know they're sick, they will wear a mask so they don't pass it on to the next person. Like, it's just out of respect.
Yeah, but I've only seen that in the city, though. Like, I don't see that on the island. So, for me, like, only when I go to the city, I see certain demographics will rock their mask in the city when they're crossing the street and stuff like that. So that's not normal to see, like, almost everybody, you know, has it. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, I guess I don't really pay attention. Like, I pay attention and I don't. Like, it's more awkward for me at this point to see people without a mask.
Right.
Than to see them with one.
Now.
I guess.
Yeah. It's just weird.
So
Now it's weird.
Yeah. Yesterday was the first time I actually complained about wearing a mask, and it wasn't because I was necessarily wearing it. It was more because I was working on the beach in 90 plus degree weather in Dickies and a shirt in the sun. And I was like, it's not like I couldn't breathe. I was just, it was like 90 plus something, but I was just sweating. I'm like, I'm on the beach and I have to wear all of this right now. Like, this is rough. I'm just sweating. Other than that, like, that was the first time I ever actually complained, and I would actually take little breaks and step aside and just like take my mask off. I'm like, this is really sweaty. This is disgusting. I am disgusted with myself.
Yeah, it is weird times. Optical, thanks for stopping through. It is weird times right now. It's just, I just don't understand. Like, I guess the thing for me is like, how long are we going to be here? Right. And I think there's no way for us to, get that information right now. It's a big question mark. So we're like, we're seeing, you know, people are still getting sick. People are still not wearing their masks. Some people still don't care that it's an issue. Some people don't believe that it's an actual issue. It's just weird. But outside of that, what number is this? I don't even know what number this is. What number are we on?
I don't know.
550. We didn't even check.
58? 558?
It could be 558. It could be 558. But before I do the, before I do the intro, I need to double check. I think it's 58.
That might be a good one.
That might be a good idea. Oh, instead of saying it's, let me see, just previously guessing. Published. I could guess. Yeah, you're right. 558. You are absolutely right. So that's what we got. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 558 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you find podcasts. You can find us there. Also, the audio portion of this episode, I'll throw that on Patreon. So if you want to definitely support the Patreon, patreon.com/Andrew Alliance, you can support there. And here we are, episode 558. Couple of interesting things that took place today. I know you have some stuff that you want to talk about, the Oculus stuff, of course, the PlayStation stuff, as well as, we are going to touch on the fact that the Xbox briefing was leaked, but we're not going to talk about what was in it. I think we need to address that this is, leaks are a thing. They've been a thing for a long time. And I think every year around either E3 timeframe or around this stuff, it's we get leaks. So Daniela, where do you want to start?
I don't know, from the top.
From the top.
Rather we top. Can
definitely start. You don't want to just pick a random topic and go with it?
I don't know. We'll start.
I got one
top.
For you. I got one for you. Top. I don't want to start from the top today.
Okay.
I want to hear your Resident Evil thoughts.
I want it. Yes, please. They all look great.
Okay. All right.
Like for a little bit also, before like it just clicked, which I took, it probably took like maybe 10, 15 seconds. Not even that long. I'd say at max 10 seconds into the trailer. I'm like, oh, this looks creepy cute. I like this. And then I'm like, wait, Resident Evil. Never mind. I love this.
It was creepy. It was super creepy. Like, so for me, Resident Evil, after maybe the second or third, or Code Veronica, I kind of stopped. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want any more of Resident Evil. I actually want to pull that up a little bit as we talk about it a little bit. But it's just the fact that after a certain amount, it got too scary for me. And I think I was done. And I knew you make fun of me when I talk about those things. But it's just creepy. Like, I don't know how you do creepy for so long and... That's all you. Like, you're so give me more on this.
I don't know what more you want. I just want to play it. That's all I know is I want to play. I want to experience it. I like creepy games, but the thing is that they're not really creepy to me.
Okay.
I don't know. I love horror. That's just kind of it. I love horror. I love horror movies. I love horror games. I love the horror genre, no matter what medium it is in. It's just interesting and thrilling to me because, well, I guess I'm lucky because none of those things happen to me, but I have an overactive imagination and I like being scared. I genuinely do.
So you like the jump scare stuff?
I don't necessarily like jump scares. Like, yeah, they catch you off guard, but like I don't really care for Five Nights at Freddy's anymore. So when they did the security breach, trailer for it, I knew what it was. And when it originally came out, yeah, it was fun. But jump scares really get old really fast and they don't have that same effect. I like that thrilling buildup of it. I like the, not necessarily jump scares, but those creepy moments that like have like a shock value to them, which I don't associate with jump scares.
Okay. Okay. So it's, yeah. it's just one of those things, I guess. I as much as I would love to see what happens with a lot of these things, I'm like, you know what? I'll just leave it to you. I'll let you do the stuff with it. I'll let you play it. I'll watch. And I think that's it. I think that's where I stop with that. So yeah, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on the Resident Evil stuff. It looks really, really good.
It does. It looks amazing. I can't wait to see what it like what it looks like for me to play in person on the PS5 if I get a PS5. But I was really amazed. I love the little trailer that they came out with, because it also had a very Tim Burton feel to it. I mean, that's not what the whole game's gonna look like, but yeah, I love how they introduced it in that story. I feel like there's definitely gonna be a lot of development into it to really pull you into this new part of the Resident Evil universe that they're introducing you to. So
yeah. Shorter horror games might be easier to handle for some people, may broaden the audience that way. I think for me, I'd rather watch those things in like sections, because it's easy for me to digest. And I think Twitch makes it a lot easier for us to do that, right? So I could jump in if Danielle is streaming a particular Resident Evil game or a particular horror game. I could be like, okay, I've had my share for today. Okay. And I could just back out and then go from there. So your thoughts on that? Shorter horror games?
I guess it would really depend what you consider a horror game. Because right now, I don't know. Five Nights at Freddy's, I guess, is a horror game. I don't know how to think about that. But like, I also consider games like Little Nightmares. That I feel would fall into a horror game for me too. And it's a very cutesy, animated type of game that gives you this dark universe. That's scary in its own different sort of way. There's no jump factor, like scare factors in there. There's really no zombies, but it's thrilling at the same time. I guess you could call that a thriller. Five Nights at Freddy's. I know I keep going back to that because that's like the trailer that they show. It gives you that same scare factor of if somebody just like jumped out of a closet at you as a friend. It's like really temporary, really short. And just not as fun. I mean, okay, so if they only took the cutscenes of Resident Evil 7 or 8, so we'll stick with Village, would you watch that? Would that still be scary to you?
I would watch... I've watched some of the movies. Would you say the movies are scarier than the games?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I think I would. I think I would. I even want to do, I mean, this is quite off topic a little bit, but there's this 12-hour film or edits of all the Metal Gear cutscenes that they put together a while ago. I definitely want to check that out, but that would be in sections as well. But I'm down to do that, to check out the Resident Evil. I know that would be scary too, because the cutscenes are pretty gross, but I'm definitely down to do that.
But would that be too scary for you? Would that fall under that?
Could be. It'd have to be daylight. I'd probably have to do it.
It'd be daylight. Okay.
Yeah, I would probably have to do that during the day. I can't do that at nighttime. But I think that the fact that we have, yes, it is a Dying Light 2 shirt. So the fact
that's
that,
kind of a horror game.
Yeah, it is. And I look at it much more like the Will Smith movie, you know, with the dog.
Which one? Oh, I Am Legend?
Yeah, and I think some of the inspirations for the Dying Light came from that particular movie. So I really enjoyed I Am Legend. I think I watched it like maybe once or twice since, you know, it came out. But I like the fact that that movie had so much in it, but at the same time, there were only a few characters in it, right? And the dog scene was probably one of the scenes that most memorable, that he had to go through that particular thing. So if you still haven't watched, you know, that particular movie, I Am Legend, I mean, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it's a great movie though. I think it's a fantastic movie. So having a movie that has inspired the game Dying Light, I think that to me is not necessarily horror to some degree, which is weird. I find that more to be a suspense thriller. Even though it has the zombie stuff in it. So, I mean, I guess that could be argued, right?
No, I would agree. Yeah. I think there's like a fine line in the mixture between horror and like suspense thriller.
Home by Benjamin Rivers. Are you familiar with that? I don't know what that is.
I haven't played it. I have not.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it depends on what it is. I think that I'm down to check out certain things, you know, but not too far. Not the crucifix and the, you know, raising demons and, you know, demon inspired enters the person and all that.
So you know, exorcist.
Don't get too crazy. Don't get too crazy with it. Just keep it very, very simple. I'm down to check out a couple of things, suspense thriller stuff. Right now, I'm really trying to finish since we're talking about movie stuff. Right now, I'm thinking about, I'm working on Ozark, right? And, I like the crazy in Ozark because it reminds me the crazy of somewhat Tyrant, the show. I don't know if you're familiar with Tyrant. I think it's the same directors that did the 24 hours. What is it? 24 hours something. It's the same directors that did, maybe Homeland. I could be wrong on that, but that type of grit, Middle Eastern conflict between characters and kingdoms and stuff like that, mixed with real world, potentially what is considered somewhat real. I like the psychology behind those things. So whether it's a Tyrant type show, or Homeland is a little wild, or even Ozark, that's pretty crazy. Those shows, I think they're psychologically intriguing for me, and I like to figure out how things are going to pan out in those shows. So Ozark I'm working through right now. What's interesting to watch, though, as by way of a documentary, since we're just rolling here, is Social Dilemma. That's really good because it shows you that the social media platforms that we use today, the original intent of those particular platforms have gone so far from what they were generated to be. So even when you look at the fact that when you refresh, you pull down on the screen, it's really supposed to mimic the slot machine. So you're always getting something when you're pulling down as a refresh. And a lot of the apps have incorporated that. So that's just a bit that they talk about in a particular documentary, Social Dilemma. It's a great watch. I heard a lot of people talking about it. I definitely had to watch that. And it was definitely so that there's a recommendation for you, Daniela. Definitely check that out. It's good. It's eye-opening. It's scary, but it's good stuff.
I'm trying. You said documentary, right? I'm still trying to work my way through High Score, which I just started.
Okay.
So that's the video game documentary that's on Netflix right now. There's a few episodes of that. But I heard good things, so that's what I'm working on. I'll get to that one after, on top of me trying to work through 900 plus episodes of One Piece anime.
So that's what we're dealing with as far as the movies and stuff are concerned. Thank you guys for hanging out and chilling with us. Yeah, that pull down for the slot machine, that's a real thing. They designed it that way so you can be connected to that experience and even the notifications, how they pop up. So the best way to kind of not necessarily wean yourself off of the devices, but at least you know for a fact that Apple has the digital well-being. That's not what they call it, right? They call it screen time or something like that. And I think Android calls it digital well-being. So when you have those two pieces of software on these phones, you can look at them and see how much time you're spending on these apps and these things. And they it's really eye-opening how much time we spend on these devices. So from the notifications to the apps that we spend a lot of time on, and we wonder where the time goes. Why don't I have time to do this or that, whatever the case might be? It's because you're spending a lot of time on your phone, you know, or an app on your phone, or, you know, or something that's not necessarily bringing you any value, or any production value if you're a content creator or anything like that. So that's that. Daniela.
I always hate the notifications on my phone. I turn them off a lot. I can and I can't. I can wake up, and that's around 5:30 in the morning or something like that when I'm starting my day. On average, it's 5:30.
Yeah.
I'll have like 20 plus notifications from Discord and they're all some type of work related.
Yeah.
And then I have multiple social media accounts tied to my phone. So like I can have I think the most I've ever had was like over 100 notifications on Instagram for like a year. And then on Twitter,
no.
And other stuff. But the thing is like, that's work related. So I can't exactly ignore it.
I have to check and double check.
I have to check to see if they're important. But it takes some time to go through all those things.
Yeah, but can you check it in intervals though? Do you have to check it like when it pops up? Can you check it a half an hour or 50?
It depends on what it is. If it's something broken, like if I'm doing something that's like on the social media and there's something that needs to be addressed, then yeah, right. I gotta get to it then. So I can't just exactly like walk away from my phone for several hours because there's been times where like, oh no, this broke. You know, people are complaining about this. We need to address this. I gotta be there.
Right.
So it's not exactly like I can just do it in spurts and intervals. It's gotta be handled. If it's my personal one, yeah, I don't need to check my personal one because I don't get that many notifications on my personal accounts. But like emails, because my son's doing it, everything online, I have to stay on top of that. I got notifications to make sure his classes, assignments, whatever his counselors, whatever that may be, I have to be on top of that. So I would love to just step away from my phone.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so Tyrant is by the people, Homeland in 24. Yeah, because I was like 24 hours, 24 something. I knew it was 24. I just couldn't place it. But yeah, Tyrant. Whew. That show was crazy. It was crazy. Okay. But the thing with that particular show, the way they decided to end it, it felt like there were things missing that they didn't finish telling. Anyway, that's what's going on with that. So NVIDIA, Daniela, NVIDIA has some crazy, crazy cards out right now. Crazy cards. I know you're trying to get one of the cards. So your impressions on the NVIDIA cards, and I know reviews, a lot of people are doing their reviews and impressions and write-ups today and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on the cards for NVIDIA?
So, like I said, I think the last show that, you know, I was thinking that the prices are going to be higher, that, you know, I'll just get myself a 2080 or whatever it is. And go with that. But when they announced the prices, I was like, that seems worth it. And like seeing what you're getting, I don't have the specs right in front of me, but I think if you have a 2080 Ti, you're kind of good for a while still, because that's roughly around the, you know, around a 3080. So just save your money. I'm sure they're going to come out with like the Super and the Ti versions and like in a few months, hold out for that.
Right.
I have a 1070. So that's a 10 series. It's already like one generation behind. Starting tomorrow, it's going to be two generations behind.
Right.
I'm looking to get the 3080, which I believe the announcement price for the Founders Edition is $699. And that is going to be a huge jump in performance compared to my 1070 now. I've had my 1070 for like 3 years now, which has like, it's done its job. It's still a sturdy workhorse, but you know, I'm getting to that point where it's kind of struggling a bit, especially on my VR side of things. I can't run a lot of games at ultra. So I think it is time to like step into, you know, the 30 series, get a huge performance jump there. I feel like that is worth it for me. I just need to somehow secure it. That's it.
Right.
That's all I have to do. This is going to probably be like terrible for me tomorrow morning because it's supposed to go live sometime tonight, tomorrow. Right. I have so many notify me things set up on Newegg.
What, Amazon. Notifications?
Yeah.
You got your notifications set up?
I got them all set up for like this, these cards. Like, just let me know the moment I can. I have like the all three pages like all set up. Just going to be hitting refresh, hoping it's like maybe midnight Pacific, which is 9 my time, because I got to wake up at 4 a.m. tomorrow for work. Wow. And I'm just going to really hope for that. And it's just a pre-order. And, you know, hopefully I have it before Cyberpunk comes out. But really for me, because I guess we can segue into this too. Like, the 3090, between the performance that upgrade or the difference between the 3080 and 3090 did not seem to justify a $1,000 price difference.
Okay.
I don't need to go that far. I think the 3080 is a good medium ground for literally anybody. Like at this point, I think buying a 3090 is just a flex. Like,
okay.
For real.
Okay.
I know there's going to be people like that. You know, it's your money. Buy what you want. It makes you happy.
Right.
Great. But for me and for those on a budget and looking for performance, I would suggest a 3080. Now coming from the 20 series, I think if you have a 2080, stick with that for a while. I honestly think though, save your money.
Why do you say that? Yeah. Tell me more about that.
I just feel like the performance upgrade that person would get wouldn't be that big or significant to make the advancement right now.
Okay. So I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So I have a 1060 right now. Okay. And, it does what it's supposed to do with games like, you know, the Destinies, the same games I'll talk about all the time, you know, the Warframes and the Paladins or whatever. You're saying that if you have a 2080 Ti right now, don't make the jump yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not yet. I think you can hold out a bit more. Just save some of that money, to be honest.
Yeah, because the 3090 seems like, was it 1500, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, right? Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're really building a whole new rig for that, I would think, right? And I even mm-hmm. recently, I had to change out my power supply from, I think I was running a 230 power supply, and I changed it to a 750 just to prepare for any card that I get in the near future. So I'm actually just preparing the machine. Well, not just that part, because I realized that I was underrunning, if that's even a thing in the PC world, because I'm still learning my lingo. The power throughout the entire system was already low. So I'm glad I was able to bump that up to a 700 PSU. So now that's in there, any card that I get, I think the recommendation for the 3080 is at least a 730 PSU from what I saw from some of the reviews and stuff that I was looking at. So even that, depending on what you're running already in a machine, if you don't even have, which I didn't up until maybe 2 weeks ago, the PSU to even run that power, there's upgrades that you're going to have to do in a machine before you even considering the new cards. Now any card for me now is an upgrade, right? So whether it's a 1070 or 1080 or a 2080, anything right now for me, it's an upgrade. So if I jump from what I have now to a 3070, that's a major upgrade for me. But yeah, you have more thoughts on that?
No, I don't have more thoughts on it, but, Troy Optical. Yeah, so what kind of CPU would one pair with the 3090? Honestly, any of the i9s, I would suggest. If it's AMD, I would probably go with the Ryzen 7, maybe 9 of the Threadripper. That would be my suggestion. I mean, of course, always go through, you know, my number one, I think everybody's top thing to go look at is PCPartPicker.com.
Yeah.
Put that in there. See what it is. You can also see what everybody else built and how they built it and what they like the performance for. Because when it comes down to it, it's also your personal preference about what you're going to be using your PC for. Is it strictly gaming? Is it a mixture of gaming and streaming? Is it gaming and like production of, you know, graphics and video? That's going to make a huge difference based off of what you want. For my personal computer now, I have a little bit older 10-gen. I have the 9900K, which is an i9 in there, and I have like 64 gigs of RAM. So really, my video card is the weakest part of my entire build. But yeah, my computer is pretty much built and ready for for that behemoth of a giant card. Just like every Absolutely. Time I look at it, it is huge.
It is. Yeah, it's there's a lot going on there. I'm really excited for the stuff that's happening though, from just the excitement around the industry about the gaming stuff, the console stuff, right? People are trying to build their PCs for the first time, upgrade, you know, maybe remove one PC from their setup, building servers, all that stuff. I'm really excited for, you know, I try not to be the Debbie Downer anymore as it relates to what people are trying to enjoy, right? Because it's an exciting time, right? You get a big generational leap, you know, or even power leap from the cards that we currently have to the new series of cards. You have digital systems with the PlayStations and the Xbox stuff happening right now. You have the pricing that's very competitive between both companies, you know, Sony and Microsoft. You have one company focusing on the subscription model that they've built with the Xbox Game Pass. You have another company focusing on first party titles. That's going to be awesome. So there's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot to be excited about. What people are excited about also are leaks, right? People are excited about when things leak, right? And there's different ways to handle when things leak, right? So when you look at something like an Xbox briefing being leaked ahead of whenever they were planning to show that, that's a lot of work anticipation that is gone now, right? When leaks take place. So Daniela, definitely want to hear your thoughts on leak. Let's spend some time here. I think it's really important. And then from there, we'll talk about some other things.
It's amazing if any major AAA game studio company does not have leaks. I just accept that if I wait long enough before they actually officially announce it, something will be leaked. Something will be put out there. It'll be titled a leak, a rumor. It happens. I don't know what to say. Like, it sucks. It sucks. It does happen for any studio or company, because they're not ready for it yet, or they don't want it out there. And they're like, you got a mole somewhere. You have, right. You have some non ride or die employees. I don't know. Or maybe you have some employee that's just like really angry at you that you don't pay them enough and overwork them. I don't know. I don't know what that case may be. Or somebody who accidentally, you know, I'm going to email this to myself at work or from home or vice versa. Oops. I tagged the wrong people. I didn't mean to email it to, you know, my brother Joe in wherever, Florida or something. I have no clue, but it happens and it's rough. And you know, however a company either addresses it or doesn't address it is always different.
Right.
Xbox handled it well. Everybody gave them kudos for how they handled it.
Right. They did handle it well. Okay. So I agree that they handled it well, because I believe there are contingency plans already ready for those things in the event that they happen, right? So I believe that they were ready for anything to happen in that regard, and they responded well to it. That's true. But it still leaves this this unsatisfying feeling of, what if we got it announced when we wanted to announce it, right? There's that.
Oh, I think some are actually planned leaks. Definitely.
Right. So some are planned leaks as well. So the thing that was interesting with PlayStation announcing that their briefing was going to be today, they announced that on the weekend, right? So because the leak took place, right, their hands were, you know, pushed, if you will, to say, hey, you know what? We have something coming too. Okay. It's happening Wednesday, so let's make the edits and announce it on the weekend, right? And that's when we got the announcement. So that was kind of weird, right? But I think that for us, Daniela, for me, for you, for the individuals who are not big sites with huge budgets, right? I think that leaks are, what do you think? Right? I have my thoughts on it. I want to hear your thoughts first. I'm going to let you do a lot. Know. Talk to me. Okay.
I don't really don't have many thoughts on top of it, because I also take like some leaks that I feel are planned and devious.
Okay.
I take it the same way as celebrities who give like that little secret text message to, you know, paparazzi, just so that like if they're kind of like not on the top of the A-list, whatever, they're not inside the news or the tabloids or whatever it may be, because they've been so secluded or whatever they did, like they will put a like a slight little, you know, sources say that, you know, who's the first? Ariana Grande.
Right.
She's going to be getting.
That's an
interesting
choice. But go ahead.
I don't know. This is the first one. I was like, I started going down the alphabets of A's and Ariana Grande coming.
Okay.
Into my head. I was going to go with Chris Evans, but you know what? That's a whole other different story, and we're not going to go there.
Okay. But, I still don't know what happened with that whole thing, but yeah. Okay.
That was not on purpose. But okay. You know, there are celebrities that do that, that, you know, they will have someone in their entourage or even themselves or their publicist or something like that will, you know, put a little bug into paparazzi's like, oh, heard that she's going to be here with this person, and they'll take whatever pictures and whatever storytelling that they want to go with it just so that their names are up there and they're
right.
Just like people are paying attention to what they're doing.
Right.
I think that's some type of publicity marketing ploy that is used, and
right.
not just amongst celebrities, but companies too. Is it the best? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Not saying that's what Xbox did.
Right.
But,
So here's the scenario. Here's the scenario, right? I have two, and let's do both. Okay. You know who Edward Snowden is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you agree with what he did?
That's a very dangerous question to ask me.
I'm just asking.
I can't answer that question.
Okay. You can't or you won't?
Both.
Okay. Any particular reasons why?
Because I don't need my employers knowing that, whatever.
Gotcha. Like okay. That. That's fair. Right? Right? See, we handled that very well. Right? That's, you know, good. I still want to be your friend after this. Right? All right. All right. Fair enough. All right. So let's say the president decides that he wanted to pardon Snowden. Right? That's a big deal, right? Whether it would happen or not, that's a big deal. Now, some will argue maybe it's for political reasons or whatever. It usually would be in this particular instance, right? So if that information got out before the president announced it, which is kind of rare, but if it did, the impact of that would change, right?
Yeah.
Tremendously, right? Now, if Snowden found out that the president was going to pardon him due to the leak, he can easily talk about how security measures are not, you know, we can go into the whole, because he's a very great information giver when it comes to how security things work and all that stuff, right? So that would be one scenario, right? That would be a big deal. If that gets out too early or leaked, the whole, you know, thing that would be beyond that would be different. Okay, so that's one scenario. The other scenario I have, maybe a couple, is a gender reveal, right? That's a big deal, right? I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so if someone okay. is... Gender reveals right now are a touchy subject because...
They are. They are.
Is on fire, okay?
They are. They are. They are. Right? But... It's just, I'm just willing to.
I would leak your gender, your baby's gender in a heartbeat of it.
Why this example? Why this example? Why, which one? The first one or the second one? I just, these are the examples that I have, right? So the last one is, which didn't happen. Why do you see? Okay, here's another example. The last one is, didn't happen. Okay. It's an example. And I don't have a relationship with this company. So I'll say that up front. So let's say I had a relationship with Corsair, right?
Okay.
Okay. And Corsair decides to do, hopefully this is a better example for people who could vibe with this. Corsair decides to invite me on a Zoom conference conversation to reveal a new product. Okay. All right. We're good. Everybody's okay. Okay. So I decide to record the entire conversation that Corsair presented with their graphs and their PDFs and the PDP, whatever you call those things, right? So I recorded the whole conversation. Me, the independent content creator that doesn't have a big budget, right? So not even maybe an hour from the conversation that I had with Corsair, this is a made up scenario, okay? I leaked the entire video that Corsair just... All the presentation stuff, their slides, I leak all, let's say 25 slides that they had on a particular line that they had coming out. What do you think that does to me automatically?
Oh, they're not going to do business with you, period.
Ever. Never. Okay. But when it comes to like a big site, right? It's different, right? So I don't have the benefit of a big budget site, whether it has three letters or whatever those sites are named these days, right? I don't have that luxury of leaking something or posting something that was leaked because I am done with that company. And then if the PR companies have a group that they all talk to each other, whose names do you think is going to circulate in that day? Mine. Okay. So I don't have the luxury of just leaking something on Twitter, leaking something on IG or whatever the case might be, whatever the popular platform is, or YouTube and stuff like that, and make a career out of it. I am done pretty much once that is done. So for me, that's how I feel about it. I think it's dangerous. Okay. I think it's really dangerous. So for me, it's dangerous. For Daniela, it may be dangerous, right? For a big budget outlet, it may not be dangerous, right? Does it still create buzz for the company once it's announced? Sure. Is it the buzz? Is it the hype? Well, let's just do hype first. Does it create hype for the company? Originally, if the company dropped it, it would be hype and it would be buzz, right? But if I drop it, it's kind of similar, but it's career ending, if you will, on so many levels, right? So if you make a living, if you will, off dropping leaks, you probably have a great YouTube channel. I'm sure there's a lot of ads being served on it and stuff like that. But I can't afford that stuff. Blacklistings, big sites too. Maybe. I don't know. But I think for me, right, any decision I decide to make as the Corsair example, which is an example scenario, because I don't have a relationship with them directly. I know the name of the company. That's it. I don't know anybody there. Okay. So if I were to take a Corsair slide presentation that's like 25 slides and I leaked that online, it's a wrap for me in terms of the blacklisting thing. That is a thing. So for me, when I see leaks come out, as much as we know, what's the point? As much as I know where the Xbox briefing is, as much as I know how many parts there are to that particular thing, as much as I know what happened in that particular briefing, me mentioning it is somewhat dangerous. Right? It's dangerous for me. That's how I feel. Danielle, any more on that?
Okay. So to give a better, more real, example, the person who accidentally leaked the multiplayer for the Black Ops, Cold War multiplayer.
That did happen. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that did happen. So there was I believe it was like a special showcasing to specific content creators. Especially those that are pretty big in the Call of Duty community, and they were supposed to be having private games, and the person accidentally streamed to Facebook Gaming. He did not know he was doing it until he had his notifications start coming up and someone mentioned in chat. And it was like a 6-minute video.
How did he not know?
It's easy. It depends on how the person's streaming setup is. Like if your record button, your streaming button, whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because there's times like that. I mean, we've gone to events where they allow you to, you know, record footage before they actually release it out. With the understanding it's under embargo temporarily, but once they can announce it, you know, edit whatever do you want. So being able to record it is a normal thing. I'm not saying that's what he did,
right?
To purposely try to stream it, because once, you know, somebody came into his chat, said he was live, he ended it. He ended it there. It was cut off. It's about 6 minutes. I didn't look further into that. I know that they were scrambling to take it out, but that's leaked. They didn't try to take advantage of exactly what was out there. It was like try to remove it.
Right.
But as far as I know, that content creator has not been removed. So, you know, you would think for accidentally breaking your embargo, showcasing this live, having this video out there, you're blacklisted, you're gone. And that person's name would be tied to like everything.
Right.
But it wasn't made that big of a deal. Yes, it was leaked out there. Yes, they put it out there. Yes, people gave a breakdown of what they saw on this video. Sure, this person tried to remove it from Facebook's whatever thing as quickly as possible. But people, like when they know that they're not supposed to be seeing something, there's a lot of people who are going to do screen recordings, downloading this VOD, whatever it may right. be, to be able to like keep it and just like dissect what they saw from this pre-alpha gameplay that, you know, it was supposed to be a private session.
Very interesting. So it's a double-edged sword. It really is. It does help.
I think the it company. Also has to do with your intentions. So your example of the Corsair thing, I mean, did you purposely try to, did you want to go in there to leak it and try to make it seem like you didn't do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, that wasn't like, yeah, the person, yeah, me in that example, intentionally leaked it. Yes. So you're saying intention.
Person who,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, compared to the person who accidentally went live for 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 100%. I think some companies put in some consideration. I'm not saying all, but I think there's some consideration about the intention behind it.
Okay, so you think the intention may forgive somebody for doing something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think if that person went straight to them and said, hey, I did this by accident, I didn't mean to do it, this is what happened, with before like somebody else told them or it got like plastered all over social media, that they like email them like, hey, this is what happened, I didn't mean to do this, I'm sorry, whatever it may be, I think has a different outcome than, oh man, okay, I did this by accident, but let's try not to say anything.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, double-edged. Definitely double-edged. Intentions, I think that's a good variable that I didn't necessarily really focus on. But I think for the most part, yeah, blacklisting is a thing. So if you want to leak, keep leaking. I think it's dangerous. We're good on that? Yeah.
One more thing. So what about the people who actually data mine to leak? That's their whole thing.
That's dangerous too. So what's interesting? Okay,
there's
so
a lot of different ways to have something leaked.
So yeah,
different ways you want to break.
So yeah, so let's talk about that, because all the changes. That's a very great point, Daniela. Okay, all the changes that we saw with Bungie turning around to start having summits and all that stuff they started having came from the data mine with the whole Eververse situation, how the XP was being calculated, right? And then once they realized that the XP, the way it was calculated, made the person grind even harder just to get whatever the whole situation was with that, that started turning it around for the team at Bungie to do certain things better as it relates to Destiny 2. So yes, so that was good for the company. I don't know if it was good for the person who necessarily leaked that via the data mining, but it made the game better over time. And even, okay, so interesting that you said that. So even, I'm trying to frame it, I guess, to make sense with this particular example, even the thing with the whistleblowing to find out that an appeals court recently said that that was illegal. Did we want to find out that information was illegal or not? I don't know. Some people say yes. Some people say no. I'm not going to hang a hat here. I'm just making an example. I'm going to keep moving. So yeah, so the data mining with the Destiny stuff made the game better. Is it better that we know the information that we know now as far as what, you know, surveillance is concerned and records are being kept? Do we care? Do we not care? Some people do. Some people don't. Again, leaving that alone. But Destiny did get better and we're happy about that. So I don't know what it did for the person themselves, but we're happy that Destiny is a better game.
See? Intentions. It's all about the intentions here.
It's all about the intention. So if the intention is good, do you give them a pass? I don't know. Do you give them a pass, whoever they may be? I don't know. It depends on who's looking at it and if they're going to benefit from that particular situation, right? And it all depends. It all depends. Exploits. It depends. It depends. So yeah, so that's all I got there. Let's move off of that really quick. We don't want to keep it dangerous. We're going to move off of that really quick. All right.
So stuff that weren't leaked. PlayStation.
The stuff that wasn't leaked. PlayStation stuff. Yay.
I love the PlayStation showcase this morning. Okay, going back to Xbox, not the leak stuff. I personally am not getting an Xbox Series X. Probably because? Not anytime soon. Well, because of the way that they have their ecosystem built and how they're advertising everything, it's pretty much play the games that you want to play wherever platform you're going to be, whether it be on the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X, or on PC. I personally, since I am very, very much headset on upgrading my video card for my PC, cannot justify buying an Xbox because there's a lot of their titles that I want to play that I can play it on PC. And I'm okay with that. I still have my my Game Pass thing going on over there. I get all the free games that they have that's available on there. A lot of the titles I want, I can get it on PC. So I can't really justify a Series X. Will we have one in this household? Yes, we will, but it will be my boyfriend's. It wouldn't be my personal one. So I will still be able to see what, you know, what visual differences would be if I played it on my PC compared to his Series X. Still deciding if we want the S series or the X series. But for me, PlayStation made sense for me to own. Like, yeah, if I'm going to own one of the consoles, it's going to be that one. And I was pretty much set on that. The physical one, the $499.
Okay.
Just because I really do not want, not that way my one purchase makes that big of a difference, but I don't want everything to go digital. Well, I really don't. I don't. So I'm going to be investing into the optical drive and having that additional in there. I will gladly spend $100 extra for that optical drive. And that's what I'm going to stick with. I loved everything that was announced in there. Now,
before you move off of that. Okay. You have PS4, right?
Yes, I do.
You have an Xbox as well, right? How much physical games that you purchase for either your PlayStation for your Xbox in the last year and a half?
Physical games. I've been really good on trying not to buy anything.
If you were to tally up versus...
If I had to take a wild guess, I'd say 10. 10 is like probably a safe number.
10 physical for the last year and a half. Okay. Versus your digital things. How much digital have you done since then? A year and a half.
None. Well, okay. Digital console?
Downloads, you preload, and then you get...
For console? Probably.
Well, we can include PC too if you want.
Well, there's almost nowhere to get a physical copy for PC games.
Okay.
So that's if you want to include digital, it's all my PC game. Well,
that's all you, okay.
PC games, and that was, I want to say, at least 40.
Okay. So my thing is, finish your thought process, and I'll give you my thoughts. Go ahead.
The only digital games that I have are probably the two I got for game review.
Okay.
That's it. Those are all digital. I can't remember the first one that was here. Oh, wait. Yeah. I don't remember the first digital game review I got for PlayStation. The second one was for The Last of Us 2. I can't remember the first one.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, like I get physical copies. Even Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 1 and 2. I still have not played that because I have been I was dead set on getting it digitally. I was going to get it on PC, but I have this weird thing. I don't know. I don't think it's OCD, but I have this weird habit that if I played a game on a specific platform, I have to continue playing it on that platform. Like I will not play Resident Evil on any other platform other than Sony PlayStation. Cause that's where I don't know. I really don't know where that comes from, but it feels weird. Feels foreign to me when I do it. Even if it's the same exact game, like Resident Evil 4, my brother bought it on GameCube. I refused to play it on GameCube.
Mm.
No, because I played 1, 2, and 3 on PlayStation. So when Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out, I was like, I'm going to get it on PC. It's going to be in the Epic Store. This is what I'm going to do. And then it came the day, and I'm like, why can I not close on this? And then I went to Amazon, and I bought the special edition for PlayStation. And I'm like, why am I like this? But I'm a collector. I like having, for me, I guess it's a very old school mentality is when I buy something, I like that I can actually physically hold it. I like that I can physically see that I am the owner of this. That is what I like. And I love collecting video games. So to be able to see that, like, I need to have that.
Okay. I think that when it comes to the Sony stuff, I like the fact that we have options, even if it's considered transitional, in my opinion. I like the fact that we have the options of having the ability to buy the console with the drive and the console without the drive, right? And I think that with consumer behavior and the data that they already have on us using their units, let's just use Sony for as an example. They know the percentage of the games that we purchased digitally and the games that we didn't, right? They have that information. So having the ability to have a SKU that's $100 more, I think is great for the individuals who plan to buy the optical drive, and the individuals who are planning to go digital, they're going to buy the machine that is just digital only, which I like the fact that they have that. The thing that I'm looking at that I'm not really a fan of is the fact that some games are going to be $70, but that's, I don't know what's going on there. But if you want the game, you're going to end up paying for it anyway. But as it relates to the consoles and my behavior on how I consume the gaming, I don't mind getting it digitally, right? So when I look at my PC right now, and I mentioned something on Twitter in regards to this earlier, is both of the towers that are sitting here do not have optical drives in them, right? Anything I need to do, I can transfer over. If I need to load a USB and do what I need to do to get the information on there, I could do that through the network, right? The bandwidth is fast enough, you can do that stuff. So I like the option. It's very logical that since most of us are already buying games digitally, that whatever that console is, that digital console, it's going to move faster than the console that has the drive. That's my opinion. Any more thoughts on that?
No, 100%. The cheaper version is going to definitely go faster because it's more affordable. And really, people are going to play and pay however way they want. It's their money. That's just me, though. Trioptical me also, he commented, I would like to see a world where we are able to push companies into a more consumer-balanced digital future, and being able to lend games to friends, being able to play on any console in my house without authenticating over internet, being able to play a game without reading a long TOS and privacy policy and agreeing with it. Who do we speak to lobby for these? I don't know who you lobby to that, but that's kind of what I like. It just, like he says, it's like with a digital game, you have to pretty much share or sign into a buddy's, you know, PlayStation, make that their primary so that they have access to your library so they can try out something rather than like, here's a disc, go play it, I'll see you when it comes back.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting world.
Yeah. No, go ahead. It really is. And he also says, like, how about this? They say that we don't even own physical games. We just have a license to use the game. If that's the case, why don't you get the digital version with a purchase of a physical box?
Well, some games did that. Remember DuckTales? They did that at one point. I got the digital game.
I didn't.
And I think that was a PS3. When they redid DuckTales, remaster, whatever they called it, they sold DuckTales via, you can get the code in the box and you have a physical box. Yeah, transitional, I guess. Not a lot of companies are still doing that. I know Limited Run will print the game, right? Limited Run Games, they print and send to you.
Yeah.
Right. For a price or whatever that is. So there are those things. But I think that, it's very logical at this point. It's not super removed, right? It's not a guru has this information, right? That they need to share with the world. It's evident that a lot of the games that we're going to be getting, most of the game for most of us, the games are going to be digital games, right? If we want that's why the business of the Limited Run Games and the companies that are very similar to those are benefiting from the fact that we still want that experience where we open up the case, you know, you unseal and you open up the case, you smell that fresh new game scent, right? From the disc or whatever to put into your machine. I think that is an awesome thing. And to your point, Daniela, going to a local game store that still allows you to collect games, I think that's a beautiful experience, right? And I've considered doing that. My thing with that right now is where would I put that? right? If I start a collection of, you know, Dreamcast games or Sega Genesis or whatever the case might be, where would I put that? But having a system that has all the Super Nintendo games or all the Genesis games on a drive that I just click play and it pops up, that's a cool experience too. Okay. So it depends on what you want, right? When it comes to that stuff.
For me, I like physical and trying to just collect the games I physically actually want. If it's weird, I still haven't, like, I bought it on Amazon, my Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, but it hasn't shipped, so it hasn't charged me yet. And I'm still like, do I really need this? And since it's the collector's edition and comes with a skateboard, which I know I'm never going to use, it's just going to be nice decoration to go up with our other skateboards. Do I really need it? The honest answer is no.
So
I know this. I don't need anybody else to tell me this. I don't need anybody else to come here to like, do you really need it? No, I don't. I really don't need any of this stuff. I don't need a 3080 and I don't need a PS5, but that's not the point.
That's not the point. That's not the point. Yeah, the point. Yeah. Yeah, that's really is. That's
But going back to the whole PlayStation briefing that happened today.
Okay.
What game stuck out to you?
Of course, Miles, right? That's amazing. Final Fantasy, which was really amazing, which I'll pop up on the screen right now. I think that, I'm just excited that we're getting more good things, right? And I think some individuals are trying to decide what's good, what's great as it relates to the games that we're seeing come out. I think that, I was not expecting a new Final Fantasy or even thinking about Final Fantasy, but watching what I saw for what they showed, I was really intrigued. I was really excited. Will I play it? Probably not, but I'm excited that it's out there for the individuals who love that genre of games, right? And I think that we have to get to a place where if Spider-Man ends up on PC or Uncharted ends up on PC, that's not a bad thing. Okay. And no, I think that once you start appreciating being happy for everybody enjoying the games wherever they land, I think you really begin to see this as more of a community than a sport, right? Because the I hate this thing, I love this thing is really sport to some degree. And I think that once you start enjoying that, again, if Uncharted definitely makes its way to PC, I know Horizon Zero Dawn's already there, but if we get a series like Uncharted on PC, which is my wish, right? And we get the multiplayer aspect of Uncharted as well on PC, I think that's a win, right? Beautiful graphics, whether you're running a 1060 like me or, you know, whatever you're running, I think that's a win, right? And we're able to see that and experience that cross-generation, cross-platform, whatever they're going to call it. I think that's going to be a good thing. But PlayStation briefing, Final Fantasy looked amazing. Miles looked amazing. The Village looked amazing. But yeah, I'm not going to take all the games. What did you like?
Hey, Hogwarts, Harry Potter, which is such it's a tough thing for me to be on, and we're not going to dive into that. But man, did this game come at such a weird and awkward time for Harry Potter fans. It's great because I think a lot of people wanted RPG, open world.
Right.
There's a whole thing over there. Just to make it,
I want to know the whole thing over there. I want to know the whole thing over there. I think I know what you're talking about. Okay.
J.K. Rowling.
Yes, that's exactly okay. We're talking about the same thing. Please explain to me, okay? Because I don't know what's going on. What's happening there, and why is it a bad cloud right now? Because that's what it sounds like. It's a bad cloud for that world. So inform me.
I don't know how. Okay, so straight up, I am not supportive of J.K. Rowling herself. Like, she created a universe that I love. That's part of me. I even have it tattooed on me. I have more tattoos, that I want that are Harry Potter themed. And, I am House Slytherin, but she is a TERF, which TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. This is basically a group of women who don't believe trans women are women. Which isn't true, because trans women are women. That's, they are, but, you know, she's the opposite of that. And, she also goes under another pen name that she's writing a book that's currently, about this, I don't know how to explain it, this guy who goes undercover as a woman to harass other women. So I don't really want to like super dive into all that stuff.
I want to know. No, we got to know. We got to know the deal. So give me the stuff.
That is the main biggest deal right there. It's basically that, and pretty much just not supporting anything in where, you know, she profits from it. And it's just a really weird place to be as a Harry Potter fan, because you want to love this universe, but this woman who created it, who is very much against, she's pretty much TERF.
So I didn't know that term existed until you mentioned it. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did see that too on Trioptical, where someone was talking about buying HP Games, but also donating to trans advocacy and organizations to offset supporting her. Yeah, I did see that too. And that is something I am considering as well too. But that's pretty much the big grunt of it. And she continues to just continue down that downward spiral that J.K. Rowling wants to be on, that stance and whatever it may be. A lot of like the stuff like Daniel Radcliffe, they came out and was like, yeah, that's not what we believe in. We don't align with whatever she is saying. That's not us. But we do love this world that we got to create and bring to life for you. So hopefully okay. You continue being fans, you know?
Okay, question.
What?
So this new game, Hogwarts, does she directly benefit from it?
I don't think so. I haven't gone diving that deep into it yet to see if she gets some type of profit from it, or for licensing or whatever royalties. I haven't dived in to see that yet. Okay. It's just about being openly, you know, a Harry Potter fan at the moment.
Okay.
That's kind of a little bit of an issue.
So all the Harry Potter fans are going back in the closet right now? What's happening?
Well, not back into the closet. Some are still like open, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to support Harry Potter. I just don't support her.
Gotcha.
But like Trioptical said, like if they're content creators, if they make money off of, you know, said game or book or whatever it may be, that money that they're going to make, they're going to donate. And I've seen several content creators who have made that statement that's what they're going to do. It's not for her. It's the offset, whatever she's going to make to put towards this. Yeah, okay. I have to agree. There's pretty much a high chance that she does get something for it, even if she isn't.
Right.
Yeah, just because it has the name on it.
Right.
She's got to get something. Yeah. I am going to play it.
Okay.
And I just want it to be known that I'm not support of TERF. I do not. I am very, very, very much a very firm believer. Trans women are women. Trans men are men. That is it.
Very interesting.
I don't argue that.
I didn't realize all that was surrounding it. All that stuff. Because I saw her name, you know, pop up on, you know, the Twitter feed, and some people were outraged on whatever was going on. So thank you for the clarity there. So aside from that, any other games stuck out for you?
Oh my goodness. I'm like absolutely drawing a blank now that we went over there. I should probably at some point in my life give Oddworld a try. It's a series I have never played, but it looked really good, and everybody keeps telling me I need to go back. I need to play Oddworld. It is just like such a unique, fun experience. I still haven't yet. It's such a, I don't know why it doesn't pique my interest. It looks like a fun, goofy game, but I'm like, eh.
Same.
I don't know. I don't know yet. Devil May Cry, the special edition, that looked like a lot of fun. I honestly, because I just don't really care for COD anymore, I kind of stepped out. Like, I paid attention to other things when they were showing off the Cold War stuff.
You walked out when they were showing COD?
Well, yeah, kind of, because I was at work while I was watching it. So I was like, okay, I can just go back and like really focus on this stuff. And when it announces or shows something that seems interesting to me, then, you know, I'll go. I'll come back.
Yeah, Oddworld looks really good. It just, I don't know. It just never pulled me in to be like, hey, you know, I should play this. Like same reactions to that. What else? What else got you?
Those are the main things that really did me, because we did mention when we really talked about Resident Evil 8. I'm looking forward to it. I know there's a lot. There's just right now where my heartbreak is that And it's so frustrating. And it's already been memed so many times today after the PlayStation showcase, because I think there was an interview where, you know, they said that, oh, we're going to give, you know, consumers plenty of time to like know when the pre-order is going to go live. We're not going to do it at the last minute. It'll be all this stuff. It was supposed to be pre-orders are going to be tomorrow, which is very strange considering they had like Sony had that whole interest splash page, show your interest in pre-ordering this and notified if you get in. I didn't get anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm not special enough, but you know what? Looking through all of the hashtags of it, nobody got one.
Right.
And then like shortly after the showcase ended, you know, Walmart opened up their pre-orderings. Best Buy opened up theirs. Target opened up theirs. GameStop opened up theirs. All today, when it was supposed to go live for pre-orders tomorrow.
Right.
I don't think Amazon has yet. Amazon's PlayStation 5 splash page is still like just showing information, nothing about being able to pre-order it yet. So I'm just going to be hitting refresh on that. Best Buy, I got it into my cart. I just needed to check out. I was trying to check out for an hour. I got so many errors. And then finally it says, sorry, we sold out. Oh my God. I was
that
mad.
That was fast.
Was mad. Oh, like, what is this? So this really, if I had to have a takeaway from PlayStation right now, yeah, they had a great showcase, but their handling of this pre-order is ridiculous. And the thing is, I can't even go into my GameStop. I called the store manager for my GameStop. Yes, I am one of those people that have their store manager.
Amazon pre-orders happen?
No, not Amazon. GameStop.
No.
GameStop. They do happen. Oh, sorry to say Amazon pre-orders happened a little while. It did. And the time that I was there, I opened up that page. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I mean, but you'll get it. I mean,
I want to be one of those people who are just, I'm very, I don't want to say snobby. You want to be the first batch.
You want to be in the first batch.
Yes, I do. My original PS4 was like that, and I loved it.
Did you like Miles at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for Miles. I think that trailer was like superb. And Twitter is filled with people posting confirmations. I'm not surprised. But so right now, which I probably won't buy it. I'm trying to find a reason not to buy it, even though I want it. Spider-Man right now is $19.99. It's marked down like 50% or whatever.
Oh, we have it. I haven't played it.
Yeah. And then, so we see this awesome trailer for Miles. And I'm like, I definitely want to play Spider-Man before I play Miles. Because from what I understand, there's a part of his story intersects with things that took place in the Spider-Man game. And that game looks absolutely amazing, even now, the Spider-Man game. So seeing this, and of course, watching the film not too long ago, which is really dope. Did you see the film? Did we talk about the film at all in previous shows?
Into the Spider-Verse? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So I'm excited for Spider-Man. At some point, I definitely want to play it. Even if that makes it to PC, everything right now for me is I hope it gets on the PC side of things because the games are so amazing. I want to see them at, you know, higher frames and just enjoy that world. And I start speaking like PC elitist now because I want to see everything at higher frames. But outside of that, I think the Miles game looks amazing. I'm looking forward to checking that out at some point. And hopefully, I know they did mention some God of War things during the showcase as well, but hopefully they start porting a lot of these games to the PC platform. Because as you mentioned earlier, Best Buy now. What's Best Buy now? Best Buy is open again?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. I'm totally listening to you. I promise. I'm trying to go through my PayPal checkout. You're talking about Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Keep going.
So, no, I'm just excited for those experiences to check them out. And I think that it's just amazing to see a lot of the games that were only exclusive to one platform being opened up to other platforms. That's where I was going with that. But yeah, this is absolutely beautiful though. You finished checking out, Daniela? I see.
No, it's not.
You're so busy checking out. During a live show, Daniel, we're live on YouTube right now, and you're trying to buy a console? I mean, seriously? What are we doing here? We're live on YouTube. What are you doing to me right now? But anyway, anything else? Anything else you were excited about? I know we talked about The Village. We talked about Miles, which is amazing. Let me back out of this real quick. I think pricing, right? Let's talk about the pricing stuff. Unless there's other things that you want to mention there.
I'm okay with the pricing. Okay. So you have the physical version of it, which is $499, $500. Then you have the digital version, which is $100 less, so $399.99, $400. I'm okay with that. I'm so sick and tired of hearing the memes about like, oh, our choices is between a mini fridge and a Wi-Fi router. No, your choices are between an Xbox and a PS5, okay?
They do that's look what like your a mini are. Fridge and a Wi-Fi router, though. I can't front. That's true.
It could look like a grilled cheese sandwich for all I care. It plays amazing games and it looks amazing. It does what it says it's going to do and it looks great and I have fun with it. Could look like a gremlin. I don't care.
I know one thing we don't have on here is all the Twitch announcements recently. Have you caught up on all the Twitch stuff?
No, I know they're being offensive still. I know that Ninja's back on Twitch.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's talk about that. Quick thoughts on that or depending what you have.
Where else is he going to go? Apparently YouTube couldn't secure him.
Yeah, I'm surprised though.
That's going to be such a weird, awkward conversation to have because when Ninja left Twitch, it was such a weird, it was like watching a bad breakup. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And like they did, you know, that was the first time they ever did anything weird, shady things with his account and he was mad about it and it was ugly. And then they said their things and then they parted ways. He went over to Mixer.
Right.
And he went to YouTube and now he's back over here. Like, how's that conversation go? Just like, did they ask for him to come back or did he ask them if he could come back?
Yeah. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. I haven't looked into it yet. But I haven't seen it like plastered across my timeline too about what type of contract they offered him.
Right. So I'm just going to speak out of ignorance here. Can I do that?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So I think that the way Twitch works and the way YouTube works obviously is different. We all know that, right? One is a discoverable platform. One isn't. And the fact that he has such a big community already on Twitch, going back there to have the subs that compound so fast just for him being on there versus having to go grassroots zero or ground zero to build a YouTube channel, which he had a YouTube channel there, but the way the things work over there is not the same kind of payout or as fast as he would get it on the Twitch platform. So I think that whatever the deal was, if it was money up front, you know, getting the bag like he did when he left Mixer, I think that there's just something different when you have a community that as soon as you pop on and they know you're on, you're constantly getting subs. And they even have sub calculators out there. So if you really want to know how much somebody is getting, okay, you can just open up Google and put, Twitch sub calculator, something will pop up. And then you put 10,000 subs in there or 20,000 subs, whatever that amount is. And you see how much, okay, these individuals are getting on a regular basis. It's a different kind of money when you have a huge community like that, that follows you wherever you go. So Ninja coming back on Twitch, right? The financial aspect of that for him is just astronomical, right? I think, you know, until, I don't know. Maybe in the next bag. Shroud just got a bag, right? Another one with a Logitech partnership, which is dope. And I like the fact that they use, it was very interesting, the marketing they use, Like Mike. And I didn't realize that his name was Mike. And what's interesting about that is when I woke up this morning, which I guess you need to know this, right? So I woke up this morning and I said, you know, what if they use the Mike slogan for the Shroud stuff? But I never connected the fact that his name was Mike. Like, his name is really Mike, right?
Yes, I guess. You know more about Shroud's real name than like I do.
Yeah, because they mentioned Mike in the slogan. I'm like, so his name must be Mike. There's no way that that would make sense. Yeah, his name is Michael. So there was no way that would make sense unless his name was actually Mike. So I thought that was interesting. They used that in the marketing. You know, if you understand, you know, that whole commercial, like Mike, if I could be like Mike with Michael Jordan and stuff like that. Shroud is an interesting character. I just want to mention this before I forget. Because he's, as I think about it, an experiment gone right in like one of those Area 57 places. Because watching him play certain games, I just don't understand how he's able to do some of the things that he does. But that's a natural talent, I guess. But he's just amazing at what he does. So yeah, he got it back too. So the thing with Ninja, though, I think that going back to that, a big community like that follows you wherever you go. And in the system that Twitch has with the Prime Gaming, as well as the subs system. And again, as I was mentioning earlier, if you do a 10,000 sub a month, if somebody's getting that and you put that in a calculator, you see what they're getting. It's just ridiculous. And I'm sure he's getting more than that. And on average, the top tier streamers on Twitch. Okay, so I'll say this because I've seen this recently. So Trainwreck is does the Scuf podcast, right? Trainwreck, the last time I was checking out the stream, just passing by, he had just under 11,000 subs, right? So you do the number for 10,000 subs, 11,000 subs. You put that number into a calculator. Big community, a lot of money, very, very fast. I don't know what Ninja's getting. So if Ninja's getting anything from 10, 20, 30,000 subs up on a regular basis, and then he has events and he has different contracts that he may get or different opportunities and stuff like that that are big. He has the Adidas stuff going on. He has his book that's happening. He has a sneakers thing. He has a sneaker thing that's out. So there's a lot of different things, right? That's happening, you know, and that whole income stream, Universal Ninja. And now he has a big bag again on Twitch. It's a lot going on.
Well, it's good for him. I mean, he probably did really do shopping around to see what was going to be offered to him. I still think he could be successful creating his own streaming platform, but he's gonna
how?
Make his money.
Microsoft suffered. How would you go about it? Microsoft suffered. If Microsoft suffered, like, you would have to partner up with somebody, right? So
well,
who
yeah.
would he? Right. So even when we look at, because Microsoft got done in July, right? They suffered to compete.
Well, it's amazing what a single guy can do, because that's what Twitch started off with. A dude named Justin just wanted to play games and share it with his friends.
Indeed. Indeed.
And now it's Twitch.
Indeed. So at this point, 12, agreed. So at this point, he would either have to buy, right, into a company, partner, heavy, big percentage, right? But starting from scratch, then what happened with Oracle bought TikTok, right? They agree with that? They finalized that?
I have no idea.
Because I don't think Microsoft got it. I think Oracle got it or something like that. But outside of all those things, you'd have to partner up or buy out, right? Because a lot of companies, what they do now, when they see something very successful, as you've seen, they buy it, right? So you had Google Maps, right? And then they bought the other app company. What was the other one? Can't think of it right now.
I have not been paying attention to what
company. What's the other one, man? I can't think of it. Why is it? I'm blanking out. What's the other map thing?
Yahoo Maps.
No, it's not Yahoo Maps. The point is, you buy out, right?
Waze.
Right. You buy out, right? And then Waze had some features that we didn't normally see or immediately see in the Google Maps, where they were giving you forecasting of different traffics, stops, accidents, potholes, et cetera, et cetera. So Google bought, right? And it's easier to buy if you can than building it from scratch. So that's the point I was making. Thank you, Waze. That's the point I was trying to make. So you buy out. So he would either have to buy out a partner big, right? Even when you look at the recent partnership that I know you don't follow hip hop stuff, but there's a guy named Charlemagne. That's not his real name. His name is Leonard, right? And he partnered with iHeartRadio to have a network of podcasts called The Black Effect, right? So a whole bunch of black creators. Noriega, rapper, has his own podcast, Drink Champs. A whole bunch of other podcasts on that particular platform that he's bringing to iHeart as a network, a podcast network called The Black Effect. All black content creators, right? So that's a partnership. He didn't buy, but he partnered in, right? And I think that if Ninja did something like that with, well, Twitch now, and again, we don't know the details of that particular deal, it's much easier to do it that way than any other way right now.
Well, it was just a suggestion. I mean, there was a whole thing about a lot of the content creators not having this weird limbo to be in. I think if they all combine forces, form Voltron to make the ultimate streaming platform based on that they know what streamers and viewers want, that would be something that would be like really marketable that people could, you know, jump on. I think there is a streaming platform. I think it's called Brime, which a lot of people suspected was what they're going to be tied in. And they now like, no, that's not what we are trying to do.
Right. So who would you put in there? I have names. Who would you put in there?
A lot of the top content creators that I don't actually watch. Ninja,
Dr. Lupo, Tim the Tap Man,
Dr. Disrespect, Tim the
Tap
Man. I would put them. Him in there. There'd be quite a few that kind of just like sit in there and do those things. I mean, and speaking of Dr. Disrespect, there's like that whole conspiracy theory that because no one knows why Dr. Disrespect was banned from Twitch still, and he's not talking about it. Twitch isn't talking about it. That he was just let go from his contract, removed, just so that they could afford to bring Ninja back. Mm. Like that. There's a whole conspiracy theory on that. People really dive in deep for this stuff. Don't know if it's true, but it's like one of the few nobody knows, and everybody's just going to be this huge unsolved mystery is there.
Yeah, Best Buy is definitely struggling right now. A lot of people talking about him on Twitter. They're not happy at all. Anything else from the PlayStation briefing? Price was good. We agree there. Games were good. We agree there. I'm hoping for more PC games from the PlayStation stuff. Those are my wishes. Anything else that we left out besides the last topic?
Is a hard drive replaceable? That's always the first thing that you change out in your PlayStation to upgrade the hard drive.
Right.
Hopefully there's more of that. I don't think I saw anything. I didn't do a deep dive yet, but straight off, like, you know, like when PS4 came out, they were really quick to say like, hey, yes, you can upgrade and change out your hard drive. This is a standard format. It's going to be quick and easy. They even had instructions on their website. I'm kind of hoping the same thing here. Hoping for that.
Right.
Because, you know, with the size of the games are coming out with, it doesn't even matter what hard drive it comes with. Like, it can sound like the biggest thing. It's not going to be enough in, like, 3-4 years to last a duration for that generation. They are going to be certifying. Oh, really? Okay. I didn't see that yet because I haven't dived into everything yet. I just know that's what I want and that's what I'm going to do. That's one of the first things I'm going to do. One of the first things I do after I get my payment to go through on Best Buy here that I've been hitting.
Daniela, we're doing a live show. Why are you shopping right now? What are we doing?
Because it's priorities. I need this PS5.
My goodness.
I am not Ninja where I can be like, yo, Sony, it's your boy Ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me a PS5 and put my, you know, special logo and branding on it and send it as like special limited edition. No, that's not going to happen. So I got to sit here hitting refresh and continue to payment information however many times it's going to let me.
That's
do
crazy.
This before it goes through.
They weren't even ready for that. Oh my God. Didn't they prepare for that? How do you
not
prepare
for
that?
No, but like all of these people, I don't know. I have no clue. They just kind of went off on the deep end here. I just want to buy it. Just let me buy it.
Before we do the last topic, I definitely want to ask chat if there's anything that you want us to sound on, you know, you want us to talk about something in particular that we didn't necessarily mention. I actually want to leave a little, like, you know, gap for those conversations. I know we touched on some things that we weren't necessarily going to touch on, especially as it relates to the political matters briefly, right? Leaks, we talked about how we felt about that. So if there's anything as we're recording more of these shows live on YouTube, I think it's a perfect platform for us to really just open up and then just share what's on our hearts, on our minds, real time. If there's anything that you want us to talk about either now or in future shows, just let us know in the chat. Yeah, I think that I'm excited for PC gaming. I'm excited for console gaming. I'm not excited for the sport that is, you know, the arguments that go back and forth. But I know that the truth is boring. The lie is more entertaining. So when it comes to specs, what's better, what's not better, that's subjective, right? So there's all those things that play into how we consume and enjoy the things that we enjoy. So having said that, Daniela, Oculus, what's going on there?
So they also had their whole Oculus show and everything that I didn't get to watch live. I had to go and pick up like whatever was being put out there. But they did announce Oculus Quest 2 and pretty much the death of their PC VR version, which is currently the Rift S. I think this last several months, Oculus themselves have been getting a lot of backlash for the decisions that they are making. One of them, the very first one, was the fact that it is requiring you to link and use your Facebook account for your profile, which is such a huge thing. Now, okay, is mine connected? Yes, it is. But now I am being very specific about who I am adding to my friends list for Oculus. So unless we know each other personally, I'm sorry, you will not be on my Oculus friends list. Why? Because it forces you to use your government issued name.
I don't like that.
Nobody likes that. Nobody does.
Yikes.
So they're going to obviously continue on with that. I think, you know, it's one thing to force you to connect it because a lot of different websites give you the option to link it. It's never forced upon you. But at least give the option to use, you know, your gamer tag. Like, I don't want my name to be in there. I don't want to join whatever lobbies. I don't want to join VR chat and there's my name. I don't want any of that.
Right.
By government, I mean my parental units. You know, and it's that's a tough one. That is a tough one. But if you can look beyond that, so
it's very hard to do so.
It is very hard to do so, which a lot of people have not. And they're very strict. It's like, even though the Quest 2 looks great, the fact that you're still making me sit in the Facebook ecosystem of using my login information or creating, like, you know, some burner account just so I can do this isn't worth it for people. It really is not worth it.
Right.
They don't even want to deal with that headache. They don't want to deal with that mess.
Wait, what? You got your name from the government? What? I don't understand. What's going on right now?
But they do. They're touting that, you know what? They're no longer going to be making the PC VR version. So goodbye to Rift S. Hello to just fully, you know, wireless with the option of using their link cable, which if you buy their official one, I think it's like $80. But it's like 16 and a half or 16 feet, 4 inches or something like that. Something like that. Long, which is pretty long, especially for you if you want to connect it to your PC to play like the heftier, beefier VR titles like Half-Life Alyx, for example. That is an option. So that means that their link option that they have for the Quest now is officially out of beta, I believe, or will be out of beta by the time the Quest 2 launches. And I know I had all my Oculus stuff up here too, because I had all the prices and everything like that, but like I'm so headstrong on this PlayStation.
You're still shopping, Daniela?
I'm trying to check out. I'm not just shopping. I'm just trying to check out. That's all I'm trying to do.
So is it? I had it up a couple of seconds ago. Is it $299? Is that the price?
Yeah. So it's actually $100 cheaper than what the Quest came out with in 2018. I think it was. It was 2018, a couple of years ago. And it's supposed to be for the 64 gig version. I think for the 256 gig, which is double the size of our highest model of the first Quest, it's $100 more.
Mm.
So there's a couple nuances there. Their headset strap, it kind of looks like a complete, I don't know. It looks worse than what is available.
Look
now.
At you being nice.
I don't know if being nice. So like I don't know how weird. It looks really janky, that's all. But like if you spend $50 more for the elite, you know, strap, which I think should be included with it.
Right.
Like
that's
really, I don't know. I really don't know why you would do that. But
I had something I wanted to ask you. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm going to ask you this.
But like the entire reasoning why they chose that strap version, which looks more like a backpack strap and really awkward looking, is to accommodate more hairstyles. And so that it's easier to just throw in your backpack and go, as where the elite version, which would be a little bit sturdier, it would offer better balance. They say wouldn't do that, but it looks more secure. It looks better. Yeah. Why $50 more? I don't know. I think somebody's like, well, it's only $50. I'm like, do you think people just have $50 laying around? Says the person who's trying to buy a $500
computer. Yeah, Daniela. Okay. You're buying systems over here right now.
Yeah, but it's a whole system, not a strap, okay? Not a strap. They also are like changing their displays. I saw that one of the reviews that was put out for the specs is that, so I'm probably going to be the worst scientific person because I'm not scientific at all. So the center of your pupils always have to be measured when you're using VR, and a lot of the different, displays that are out there, you have a way of adjusting it and fine tuning it so that you get the best crisp image, and you also reduce how much motion sickness that you have. So they kind of actually somewhat did away with that for the Quest 2. So you have three options, which is supposed to be, I guess, the three most common options. But if you're in between those, well, you're kind of out of luck there. I think that
so
was
it's
a
not
terrible
one
choice.
Size fits all. Basically.
No, it isn't. It really isn't, because a lot of people have different offset eyes. And, you know, that's just what it is. So whatever these three that they chose, I mean, if you fall in between there, good luck.
Right.
Like, that's all I can really say there.
Right.
So there's a couple of things in there. Yeah, it does have a better processing.
So you want it or you don't?
I initially wanted it. Like, that was my first instinct. It's like, okay. I want this. I want to try it. I want to play it. Looking deeper into the specs of it and everything that they have as information that's available, right. I think it is something I will actually hold off on. Like, my Quest right now isn't terrible. Is it the best? No, but it's still fun. Like, I don't regret
I thought you were doing a play on words there. My Quest isn't terrible. My Quest is just to buy a PlayStation 5 while I'm doing the last show. I know, I was trying to figure out. I was like, wait, is she going with a double entendre thing?
No,
I was like, okay. All right, Daniela, I'm feeling it.
I'm still happy with my Quest.
Okay.
I am. So I can't picture myself upgrading it. Maybe I would love to see if they come out with a better, beefier version that addresses possibly some issues that people are going to have when it initially comes out. I can hold off on it. Is it supposed to be able to offer 90 frames and smoother? Yeah, it is. But right now, I don't have an issue with those things. I'm not trying to play really super beefy games. I'm playing Beat Saber. I'm playing Synth Riders. I'm playing Audio Trip, which are all beautiful games, and I don't have a problem in the playing it now. And
so you're not really missing out.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not missing out. Gotcha. I feel like maybe if I got to try Quest 2, maybe next year, maybe if I felt then, like, oh, wow, this is a huge, you know, difference. like between my 1070 and a 3080. Okay, sure. I'll make that jump. But right now I think I'm good where I'm at with it, with what I have. They also, you know, mentioned a couple of things. Like, so they have, this new thing coming out that's called Venues, which is you have this avatar that you built up that you can go out and watch movies. You can go out to concerts with other people, do all these fun things, kind of like being social with actual real other people for these real life things, but from the comforts of your home.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of cool. And then the biggest one I will mention, but I will not, I personally can't because of conflict of interest.
Okay.
It is. I'm thinking about
what you said and how it applies to you, and I'm good now. I'm connected. We're good.
So they announced Quest Move, which is a VR fitness like your,
right.
That they're going to be coming out later on this year. That's going to be integrated on their stuff. And a lot of people on, I noticed on Twitter took to that, like, yeah, that sounds cool. But do I want Facebook tracking what my health and fitness is like? Do I want Facebook doing this? Like, that's what it always went back to is,
right.
Do I want Big Brother? Do I want Facebook knowing even those personal things? If I don't want them to have my long information, to know my name, to know who my personal friends and family are, why would that I want them to know any of my biometrics?
Like, right.
Getting personal there. But they also did announce other like fun games. So, Pistol Whip, which is a really fun shooter, kind of makes you feel like John Wick, badass rhythm shooter game. They announced that they're coming out with like this campaign quest story, which is Pistol Whip 2089 later on. You also got Jurassic World Aftermath, Warhammer 40,000, Battle Sister. You got the Climb coming out.
They had a whole show after that? They had a whole thing?
Yeah, they had a whole thing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll go on.
So they had some like really good stuff that was brought up and mentioned. A lot of the games. So they had a decent thing. I mean, nothing that we could have ever. Sorry.
Daniela, stop shopping. Stop it, okay?
I just got to thank you.
We're live on YouTube right now. What are you doing? Did you get it at least?
No, it just updated. Golly.
You had one thing to do, Daniela. Just buy the thing. Just buy it already.
It won't let me, and I finally just tried it and said I couldn't.
Unbelievable. All right, so there's one thing I wanted to ask you though. So there's a conversation surrounding the pin connector for the RTX cards that some people say is too ugly, or the pin is too short, or you need a particular adapter, or one edition comes with an adapter and then the other two do not, or so. Have you heard anything about that? Like, what's that surrounding that?
Don't know. Now I gotta go and look.
Yeah. I've heard some conversations surrounding the So there is that. So for the card that you're going to decide on, you're definitely doing a 3080. Yeah?
Yes. 100% yes.
Okay. And that one is at what, $699 from what I recall, right?
Yeah, that's around the starting price. So for the Founders Edition, it's $699.
Okay.
But then you have all the other different versions from all these other different vendors that the price will vary.
Right. And then the 3070 starts at $499?
I didn't even look at the price of that. I think you're right, though. I think it's about there. It's a good starting price for the 3070.
You won't get one until March. What's happened? Did you get talking about the system stuff. So I think that's all I have. I think that's all I have. Anything you're playing? Anything right now?
Among Us and Fall Guys. That's what I'm currently playing.
Indeed. Thank you guys for joining us. So, any final thoughts on anything that you want to mention before we get out of here? I know you're still trying to buy your system.
It's not gonna let me. I'm just gonna have to accept this poor doomed fate of mine. I'm being super dramatic over here. I really am. Oh, wait, is it going to let me?
Oh, my gosh.
Let me go to my my PayPal and check out, okay?
All right, so why are you doing that? Let me just do this. Let me just, I think we need to do this. Okay, so guys, if you guys are starting a podcast, one of the things that I love about podcasting is the fact that you can just share a conversation with individuals and just have a great time. I love recording with Daniela. Obviously, she's the best. But if you're trying to start your own podcast, you could use the promo code TSR. With Libsyn, Libsyn just added a new destination and they have all the major destinations, including Spotify and all the major ones that you want to have on a podcast. They have, and they're adding a new one very, very soon. I don't think that's announced yet, but that much I could say. Okay. So, Libsyn is really, really cool. Definitely use the promo code TSR for that. And also if you're, you know, surfing different countries and territories, you can definitely check out ProXPN. ProXPN, we know the government is censoring information in an attempt to keep us in the dark. You can use ProXPN to help out with that. If you use the promo code SHORAM, you'll get 20% off of the lifetime of your account. Use ProXPN. It is great. I use it on a regular basis when I'm trying to access information that is not necessarily readily available for me from different countries and territories. ProXPN is absolutely amazing. And now back to Daniela trying to buy a console while we're recording live on YouTube. Daniela, how are you doing with that? Huh?
Sitting in my PayPal checkout and it's just like spinning and waiting to load to just let me process this payment. Just take my money. Just take it. That's all I want. This is stressful. This is terrible and stressful. This is how I'm going to be for my RTX card. I know it. I absolutely know it. I'm just
going to be miserable. And that opens up tomorrow, right?
Like just tomorrow, tonight, I don't know exactly what time frame we're looking at here, but I'm going to be the person hitting F5. Come on, let me buy. I have my email waiting for all my notifications. I have set up everywhere.
But I would love to hear your thoughts. Definitely check out The Social Dilemma, guys. Definitely check that out in the chat if you haven't. It's a great documentary. Daniela, please, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. It was amazing. I really enjoyed that. That's all I have. If you don't have anything else, you can close this out.
I'm good. I'm just going to be here for the rest of my evening trying to make these purchases and, I don't know, put up my child for sacrifice. I'm not going to go that far. I'm just saying, I really want this. But anyways, thank you guys so much for your questions, for hanging out with us, checking out this episode, whether you're here live or you're checking it on your favorite podcatcher, Spotify, Apple Play, iTunes, Google Play. All of those great places. Thank you so much. Consider leaving us a review and telling a friend if you really like the show. You can also follow me and Andrew on Twitter. On Twitter for Andrew, you can find him at twitter.com/Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can find me at twitter.com/MissDJM. And until next time, have a good one and take care of yourselves.